in the long run, that doesn't actually last that long because of the fact that you're going to reduce your metabolic rate, aka your body's ability to burn fat, and you are going to have to work out even harder to burn those calories. So not only are you reducing your ability to burn fat, but you're also having to spend more time to burn the same amount of fat that you were burning before. Yo, what's going on, H2 bro? It's your boy Jerry, the TR expert, Washington, here at General Fitness Company Studio. Today is Monday, May 13th, 2024. And so this is season 11, episode 62. Today we are talking about shortcuts. As I was recording this, I was actually thinking to myself, you know, sometimes I'll be saying something and in the back of my mind, I'll be thinking about something else. And I didn't get a chance to mention it, but I wanted to talk about it just for a brief moment here in the intro. Now, I was talking about shortcuts in the episode. There's a reason why people all take shortcuts. Essentially, it's because they want to get to their destination faster. I mentioned a quote by Machiavelli where the means justify the end, but what I really wanted to talk about there, outside of, you know, the actual shortcuts that people take and the actual way that we want to do it correctly, is a lot of times people take the shortcut not because they really want to get there faster. You know, maybe it's different when you're talking about actually being on the road, but when we take shortcuts in life, it's not because you want to get to the destination faster. The reason why you want to actually get to that destination is because you want to show people that you've gotten to the destination. That's a lot of people in the world. A lot of people want to show, this is what I've done, including myself. I've done that myself before. I try to take shortcuts just because I wanted to show people that were doubting me that this is the way you do it. Of course, as you get older, you realize that that's not the way to go. And then you have to deal with consequences of taking those shortcuts for some reason or another, whether it be because you were not eating enough and then you ended up having some issues with your metabolic system, or because you were stretching and you didn't understand the consequences of the improper stretching techniques. But anyways, we're going to be talking about those two in this episode. Hopefully this is going to bring you value. If you did get value from this, feel free to let other people know, because I don't think I told you to share in the end like I normally tell you. But anyways, let's go and get this episode underway. Season 11, episode 62, and we're going to, you know, keep it simple. Calls one, shortcuts. Let go! All right, so today we're going to be talking about shortcuts. I don't know if you're familiar with this person, but his name is Carl Jung. He's a famous philosopher as well as psychologist. We use a lot of his theories today, and he had one famous quote that I still believe that applies to our society today. Be aware of unearned wisdom or enlightenment. All right, and the reason why I say it applies to our society today, because we've opened up psychedelics to almost mainstream, and a lot of people are taking these psychedelics to gain an insight into their lives that maybe may or may not be unearned. And the reason why I say that is because sometimes people can abuse these things. They go for, you know, 21 ayahuasca trips in 1 week or 1 year or whatnot, or they're taking LSD or they're taking these magic mushrooms and they're saying they see these things and it's helped them understand life a lot better. However, the problem is that we don't know the consequences of doing these things. We have an idea, and it seems like a lot of these things are not necessarily good things that we want to be putting into our body long term. A lot of reports of dementia and other psychosis that leads to the issues down the road. Now, I'm not saying that it's not good for everybody, because there are definitely studies that have shown that people have benefited from these psychedelic trips and they've released trauma through these things. But I want to say that, you know, it's not necessarily something that's great for everybody, even though some people say that it is good. Now, along those lines, speaking of health and fitness, there are some things that people say are good that are not necessarily good for us, especially I'm especially thinking of things that we've traditionally done for health and fitness that we've debunked for the most part since you know, we've really started looking into how we can improve our health overall. And that's fairly recent. I mean, we just started working out within the past century or so, and we've just started understanding what these workouts are doing for us in a casual sense. All right. So one thing that I've talked about before that I won't go too much into is the RICE method. As you know, we have the RICE method, which is rest, ice, compression, and elevation. And we found that ice is actually one of the worst things you can do for yourself. And that's one of the shortcuts to healing that, you know, that's going to help you feel better. However, in the long run, it actually doesn't help you because of the fact that it actually impedes blood flow to the area, and so that stops the healing process, or at least slows the healing process. Now, one thing that I do know that we all do that is definitely not beneficial for us is our method of weight loss. Now, the method that a lot of us are pretty much swear by, if you ask anybody, how do you lose weight? They'll say, well, you got to eat less calories and you got to work out more. Now, that may sound good. And in fact, it actually does work short term, but in the long term, it actually turns into a shortcut. Now, it's not a good shortcut because it leads you into some serious issues later on down the road, especially if you're going into a very large caloric deficit. Now, what happens when you experience a caloric deficit is that your body tends to lower your metabolic rate. And that's the opposite of what you want to do. You know, you may at first lose weight because, yes, you are ingesting less calories and you are burning more calories. But in the long run, that doesn't actually last that long because of the fact that you're going to reduce your metabolic rate, aka your body's ability to burn fat, and you are going to have to work out even harder to burn those calories. So not only are you reducing your ability to burn fat, but you're also having to spend more time to burn the same amount of fat that you were burning before. So what you want to do instead of reducing your calories and increasing the volume of your exercise, you actually want to increase your calories and increase your, instead of volume, you want to increase the load. That is what we would call progressive overload. All right. That's essentially adding more load to your muscles. That could be in the form of adding more weights, but it also could be doing other things that just add more necessity for force from your muscles. So that could be things like doing push-ups, all right, and different versions of push-ups. That could be doing something like maybe slowing down the tempo of your push-ups, meaning that's going to take more of a load, even though that also increases the volume. It also increases the load that your muscles are going to need to perform that exercise. Other exercises that are not good that most people would think are good are cardiovascular exercises. The reason for that being is that what you're doing is that you're just taxing your system for that point in time. That doesn't change your metabolic rate whatsoever. So essentially what that means is that you're going to be burning those calories for that time that you're doing that activity, and throughout the day you're not doing anything else that's going to increase your metabolic rate or increase your ability to burn that fat. So you are only going to burn calories. If you burn 300 calories in your workout, that's literally what you're going to be burning for the day, and you're not going to build on that, and you're not going to have the ability to burn calories later on in the day or in the week because of the lack of building muscle. All right, so there's actually a study that further proves that. They had took some Pacific Islanders and they found that they spent, you know, 8 to 10 hours foraging. They specifically lived off the diet of honey, and they lived off the diet of honey because it was carbohydrates and it helped them do their 8 to 10 hour foraging trip. So it was kind of like a vicious cycle where they would just essentially consume the calories that they were burning. And they more or less burned 2,000 to 2,500 calories a day, which seems like quite a bit. But if you think about it, most of us have a 2,000 calorie diet. So that's not really a ton more than we're normally burning anyways. Now, they took other people from the United States, specifically New York office, where people were sedentary for 8 to 10 hours. And they took their diets and they adjusted them a little bit. And they also had them exercise, do just not vigorous exercise, but just gentle exercise in which they were maybe doing cardio and some light stretching and some things that would help them build muscle, you know. So they found that these people, these people that worked in these offices, that with only this 1 hour of addition of exercise, ended up burning just the same amount of calories as those people that were working out for 8 to 10 hours a day, right? Because they were, you know, they were active for 8 to 10 hours a day foraging. Now, the reason for that being is why I was what I mentioned before. It's that they had more of a metabolic demand because their body had more muscle, and because they were giving the body more resources to work with, they can increase their metabolism, and they could eventually burn more fat in the long run because of the fact that they had more of an ability to burn fat. So that shortcut of eating less calories and working out more, it is good in the short term, but in the long term, your best solution is to increase your calories, or maybe maintain your calories, but instead of increasing the volume, you can increase the load, meaning that you want to put more resistance on your exercises rather than more volume. In other words, more cardio or more lighter weights or whatnot. Now, the other shortcut here that I'm talking about is something that we may not be as familiar with unless you listen to my Friday episode. I go in depth about this. I go in depth about passive stretching and why it's not necessarily a good thing. Now, a lot of us were raised on passive stretching. You reach down, touch your toes. You may increase your mobility, increase your flexibility. I remember it got really big in the 80s when we pushing their athletes into different positions to help increase their flexibility, and that does help increase your flexibility. I'm not saying that it doesn't. However, it does come with a side effect, a very, very tragic side effect, if you will. It is something that is going to diminish your mobility and diminish your joint stability. The reason for that being, as I said, I went into this in depth on Friday, but I'll give you the short gist of it, is that when you push yourself or push your muscles into a position, you reduce the stability of the joint that holds that muscle, and eventually you reduce the mobility of that joint in a way that eventually will be render it incapacitated. So you don't want to push your joints into a specific position. You want to do what's called active stretching. You want to do something that doesn't necessarily just have you sitting there in a passive position. You want to do something that is active, that actively works your muscles and your fascia through a range of motion and teaches that motion, because essentially what you're doing when you are doing these passive stretches, you're mapping onto your central nervous system, which is responsible for your balance and your keeping your body stable. You're mapping onto your central nervous system a movement pattern that is not as necessarily functional, and that's not going to be something that is stable. So you're telling your body you can do this, however you don't have anything to back up that movement, right? It's like essentially taking a bet and not have anything to pay up with, and when you eventually lose the bet. So the best thing to do is, instead of, as I said, passive stretching, is actively working through your ranges of motion with resistance. And that's actually going to be something that is going to be a longer time frame in increasing your mobility, but it's going to be something that is more stable and something that is going to be beneficial for your joints in the long run. Those are some pretty good examples of some shortcuts that people take in the health and fitness industry. I hope that you're not taking any of those shortcuts. And if you are, hopefully you'll take my advice here and change your tune. All right? Because the thing about life is that, you know, we all have our different paths, right? You have to take your path, you have to take your journey, because nobody else can take the same journey as you can. So, shortcuts, stay away from them. Take the road less traveled. All right, thanks for listening. I appreciate you listening. As always, keep good company.